Amen. Thank you, Brother Abernathy. What a blessing. I hope he's in your heart today. And if he's not, listen, you need to get him there. Amen. And you can do that simply. Today, it's my pleasure to introduce, and I don't want to take any more of his time. I would hope that you'll take your Bibles out and be ready to hear. Our speaker for baccalaureate today, and he'll be our speaker tonight, is Dr. Joe Arthur. He has been faithfully serving as pastor for 40 years, and he is just a preaching machine. So you come and preach to him, my friend.
All right. Thank you, my brother. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I enjoyed all the good music this morning and enjoyed my brother from North Carolina. I knew I had seen him, but not in Florida. I seen him in the county jail a couple of times, too, but it's so good to see him again, and I love your pastor. I appreciate the wonderful invitation. He had a late night last night. They kept delaying our flight. I think we finally got in at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I kept him up half the night, but I think he's looking pretty good, don't you? And enjoyed it. And Dr. Carter, what a great Sunday school lesson that was. And it's good to see somebody here today older than Methuselah. Scotty Drake, it's good to see you, buddy. He's in one of them names in Genesis 5, I guarantee you. And I love him so very much. And it is an honor to be with you. And it's good to have my wife, Julie. Stand up over there, sweetheart. I love her. She's been my wife for 40 years almost. And we're glad to have her here. And she looks good, don't she? Yeah. Yeah, she's real pretty. Someone said, how did you do that? I ain't always looked like this. There was a time. You said, what is that? This is 40 years of pastoring in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. But we're honored to be here. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 today. And I want to read verse number 4, 5, and 6. And keep your Bible open from this book. We're going to give you the points that Lord's laid upon our heart today. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, began reading in verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And I'm interested this morning in that little phrase in verse number 5, where Paul the old preacher says to Timothy the young preacher, that faith that is in thee, that pure, virtuous, without hypocrisy, faith that is in thee, was first in your grandmother and in your mother. And for the next few moments, I want to preach today on this subject. I got it from my mama. And I'm glad that there was a generation that went before me that invested in my life. I believe we'd all agree this morning that the Apostle Paul was very successful in his ministry. But one of the things that Paul was very successful at, a lot of times, is overlooked. I believe he was successful in training his replacement. Let me say that again. He was successful in training his replacement. I believe it would behoove all of us today to make sure that we're training our replacement. Because one day our voice will be silent. Our seat will be empty. Our space will be vacant. And man, wouldn't it be a blessing to know that when our life is over and our voice is silenced, that there was someone, another generation there to take our place. I'm thankful for my dad. My dad was an old-fashioned Baptist preacher from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And he passed away in 2008. And my little mama was an old-fashioned, shouting Baptist preacher's wife. And she died in my arms just a few months back, February the 10th. And I miss my mama. My mama was my prayer warrior. My mama was my prayer partner. I was my mother's favorite son. I was the only one she had. She did have three sisters. I got three sisters. She had three daughters. And I still think I'm the favorite of all of those. She tolerated them and loved me. I was the only son. I was the youngest child. I was the only grandson. I was the youngest grandchild. I milked it for everything I could get out of it. And shame on you if you don't do the same. But I am so glad that there was a generation before me that invested in my life. Chapter number 4, Paul said, I fought a good fight. He didn't say, I finished the course. He said, I finished my course. He realized that his ministry, his life, was over. And there was someone in the shadow getting ready to step up and make up the hedge and stand in the gap. I mean, what good would it do to know all of the spiritual truths and to have such a wonderful religious heritage and not pass that to the next generation? I believe America needs Christians like never before. They need salt and light and a voice for God like never before. And I'm glad that when Paul left the scene, he had been successful in training his replacement. But I do want to say this today, that Paul had some help in that. Because before he ever got a hold of Timothy, mama and grandmama had done got a hold of him. They put something in that young man that life and the pleasures of life and the pressures of life could not take away. And I wonder today, what are we leaving behind? Are we investing in another generation that will lift high the bloodstained banner and fly the flag of old-time religion and tell another generation there is a Savior and Jesus is His name? And from this passage, from this little book of 2 Timothy, I'd like to give you a glimpse, a look at the faith that his mother passed on to him. And I believe it's the same kind of faith my mother passed on to me. And I'm trying my best these last 40 plus years to pass it on to others. Look in chapter number 1 and verse number 12. What kind of faith was in this young man that was passed on from his mother? Well, I'd be safe in saying, number 1, it was a faith that was concrete. It was a faith that was concrete. Notice what he said in chapter number 1 and verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm glad the faith we have today is a faith that is concrete. It is not a hope so. It is not a reckon so. It is not a maybe so, but it is a no so faith. It is a no so salvation. And I'm glad in a world today that is filled with uncertainty, I'm glad we sing blessed assurance Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I read the other day where they said that the COVID has affected every area of our society. The economy, the political landscape, the social chemistry of our land. They say it has affected every area of our society. But I want to report to you today, there is one area in our life where COVID-19, 20, or 21 has not affected. And that is our personal, no-so, blessed assurance, salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I remind you today, ladies and gentlemen, that the only salvation that's proclamated in this Bible is a personal salvation, a no-so salvation, and thank God, an eternal salvation. Paul said, son, we know. We have that blessed assurance. I was helping a preacher one day out on his soul-winning efforts in Tallahena, Oklahoma. And I was just a young preacher, and I knocked on this man's door, and he came to the door, and I said, sir, if you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? He said, young man, I don't know that. You don't know that. Nobody knows that till you come down to die. I said, sir, with all due respect, you may not know, others may not know, but I will know that I have trusted Christ as my Savior. And I said, and sir, with all due respect, if you wait till you're dead to find out whether you're saved or not, you have waited 1 millisecond too late. I'm glad we don't make saints out of people after they die. You are looking at Saint Joseph right now. We are the children of God now. We're the born again body of Christ now. I'm glad it is a personal salvation. Yes, my dad knew the Lord and preached about him. Yes, my little mama knew the Lord and she testified about it. If we hadn't have been Baptist, my mama would have been a preacher. I'm telling you right now. And my mama knew the Lord. But I'm glad on that Thursday night, 1979, about 9:35 in Reidsville, North Carolina, I met the Master. I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I can say the Lord is my light and the Lord is my helper and the Lord is my redeemer and the Lord is my keeper and the Lord is my shepherd and the Lord is my king and the Lord is my God and the Lord is my Savior. He is my rock. He is my shield. He is my strength. He is my refuge. Aren't you glad today that this faith, it is personal. We can know God in a personal way. And he said, I know whom. Whom? He didn't say what. It's not signing on to a list of a religious dogma. But it's meeting the divine person, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright the Morning Star, the King of every King, and the Lord of every Lord. I know whom I have believed. And Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm thoroughly convinced. I've got my mind made up. I cannot be moored away from it. It is solid, it is concrete, it is sure. And may I use the words of the songwriter this morning, that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, which is laid for your faith in his excellent word. I'm that it's a faith that is concrete. And I am persuaded that he, the one that I cast my faith upon, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm glad the faith my mama had and the faith my mama gave me and the faith we need to put in the lives of the next generation is a faith that is concrete. It is solid. It is rooted. It is grounded. It is unchangeable because Jesus Christ, man, I feel like preaching. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank God for a faith that is concrete. I'm glad today that our hope is in Jesus Christ and it is unmovable. Science may change, the medicine world may change. Religion may change, the political landscape may change. I'm glad that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm glad he is keeping our soul. It is a faith that is concrete. Come to chapter number 2, if you will, beginning in verse 19 down to verse number 22. It is a faith that commits. It is a faith that commits. Chapter 2, Paul uses an analogy about a great house. He says, in that great house, there are vessels of gold and silver and wood and stone. And in that house, there are vessels of honor and some to dishonor. But Paul, the old preacher, tells Timothy, the young preacher, if you will purge yourself from those things which are dishonorable, you shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Sanctified and meet for the master's use. A vessel of honor that'll bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I'm glad Paul said some, the faith that is good enough to save us, that's blessed enough to save us, that's worthy enough to save us, is the same faith that's worthy of our commitment, and it's worthy of our service, and it's worthy of our best, and it's worthy of our all. I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. I don't live right to be saved. I live right because I am saved. I don't serve the Lord to be saved. I serve the Lord because I am saved. My mom and my dad, I grew up in that preacher's home. I am living proof that all preacher's kids are not mean. I was at one time, but Jesus saved me. Mama beat the devil out of me. Say amen. Right? And I grew up in that wonderful family. And Brother Joe Arthur's got a lot of problems. I've got a lot of hang-ups. I'm not a perfect man. But as long as I'm in my right mind, here is something you will never hear me do. You will never hear me on some podcast on the internet griping and grumbling, whining and bellyaching about my heritage. I am not a recovering fundamentalist. The only thing I have to recover from is my own ignorance and stupidity. I'm not relabeling. I'm not repackaging. No, I'm reviving. I'm refiring. I'm glad for the example of my mother and my father. I'm glad they took me to church. I'm glad they taught me the things of God. And my mama drilled this in my head from the time I can remember. Oh, honey, serving God is great. Serving God is wonderful. The greatest thing on planet Earth, it's to know God and follow God and serve God. You'll never regret living for Jesus. You'll never regret living for God. He is worthy of our service. He is worthy of our time. He is worthy of our tithe. He is worthy of our tithe. Worthy of our tithe. Aren't you glad the faith we have, it's not only a faith that is concrete, it is a faith that commits. All of us today ought to be so glad to be forgiven of our sin. It's no big deal to sign up and live for God and stand for Jesus and commit our life to the cause of Christ. And it wasn't a show. It wasn't a put on. My mother and my father instilled in me that the greatest thing in all the world is to be a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm often asked this. Brother Joe, growing up in a preacher's family, what about all the hypocrites? What about all the hypocrites? Surely you saw a bunch of hypocrites. If you get out your house, you're going to see some hypocrites. Hypocrites shop at Walmart. Hypocrites eat at Cracker Barrel. Hypocrites love Krispy Kreme. Ooh, I felt something on that. Man, if you go by there and that light is on, that is a sign. It's been foreordained from the foundation of the world. Pull in there and get one of them donuts. Hypocrites. They shop and eat and fly planes and they do the same thing. And I'm not going to quit doing that because there are some hypocrites there. I'm not going to quit buying that cheap stuff at Walmart because hypocrites go there. I'm not going to give up Cracker Barrel because hypocrites go there. And I know by the help of God, I'm not going to give up my Krispy Kreme doused with heavenly manna hot now for a hypocrite. I just look at it like this. If I can shop with the hypocrite and eat with the hypocrite and ride with the hypocrite, brother, I can go to church with a few of them. Because I'll tell you one thing, I'd rather go to church with them than to go to hell with them. That hypocrite didn't save me. That hypocrite didn't call me. And by the way, yes, there were hypocrites. There were people that were not real. But listen to me today. I saw enough real in my mama and saw enough real in my father that I wanted to know the Lord. I wanted to serve him. I wanted to give my best to Jesus Christ. I'm glad my mom passed me off a faith that was worthy to commit to. Sign on today. Live for God. Give God your best. Give God your life. It's worth every mile of the trip. If he loved you enough to save you, we ought to love him enough to commit and serve him the rest of the days of our life. And this faith is a faith that is concrete. It is a faith that commits. Quickly turn to chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It is a faith that continues. It's a faith that continues. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 for 13 verses. From verses 1 to verse 13 for 13 verses. Paul describes perilous times. He talks about the deception. He talks about the depravity. He talks about the moral and religious climate in the midst of perilous times. And I believe I'd be safe in saying today, the perilous times are not coming. The perilous times are here. When I read the blogs, when I read the headlines, I'm only 62 years old, and it's hard for me to recognize the nation that I grew up in as a little boy. We need God. We need revival. We need an old-fashioned, devil-chasing, sin-killing, Jesus-lifting-up revival in our land. And for 13 verses, Paul talks about the sin, the wickedness, the ungodliness, the moral, the civil, the social, the religious climate of the perilous times. But in verse 14, he butts in and makes a conjunction in the midst of perilous times, in the midst of the sin, in the midst of the apostasy, in the midst of the upheaval caused by the enemy. He steps in and says, but, continue thou. Can I tell you today, perilous times is not quitting time. Perilous times is not turning back time. Perilous times is not throwing in the towel time, but continue thou. I love the verse, but continue thou. in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Man, I love verse number 15, and that from a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. For all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. I might as well finish the whole passage. That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul, the old preacher, says to Timothy, the young preacher, you're going to face the strife. You're going to face the pressure. You'll face the political upheaval. You'll face perilous times. But son, this faith is concrete. This faith commits. And this is the faith that continues. It's not a quitting faith. It's not a giving up faith. It's not a turning back faith. But it presses on and it goes forth and it doesn't stop. It doesn't turn. It doesn't give up. I want to encourage you young people today. Continue, continue, continue. Press on for Jesus Christ in spite of this world and the pressures and the sins. Press on for Jesus Christ. It is a continuing faith. It's not quitting time today. It's preaching time. It's living time. It's soul winning time. It's going on for God time. Let's continue in the race for Jesus Christ. Daddy was faithful to God till the Lord called him home. Mama got to stay with us 15 years after my daddy's homegoing. And I thank the love I had for both mom and dad. I just gave it all to mama for the past 15 years. And oh, I was her baby. I love to hear her call me and say, baby, this is mama. She didn't have to tell me who she was, just that baby. That's the only person that's ever called me that. You say, what does Miss Arthur call? We'll talk about that later, but it ain't baby. My mama would call and pray with me. I have the last time she called me right here on my phone. I happen to have my iPad nearby. She called me every Sunday morning, 9:30 on the dot. And I got the last time recorded. It would say, hey, baby, let's talk to Jesus. And she'd ask the Lord to bless me, the Holy Spirit to anoint me. And she'd usually shout a little bit before she hung up. And I will never forget it. November the 1st, this past fall, my sister called me. She said, Mama's not feeling well. I'd literally just told somebody the day before. They said, how's your mama? And I said, man, my mama is great. She's like that little Energizer bunny on TV. She just goes and goes and goes. I said, the way mamas do it, man, she'll live to be 100. And I really meant that. And perfect. You never dreamed. And the very next day, my sister called me. November the 1st, she said, mama's not feeling well. We're going to take her to the doctor. And you know how that goes. One thing leads to another, another thing leads to another. And finally, the week before Thanksgiving, that doctor motioned me out in the hallway and told me what he was going to go in there and tell my mother. He said, son, your mama is eat up with stomach cancer. And she only has a few months to live, and there's nothing we can do. Surgery, treatments, there's nothing we can do. He said, I'll go in and tell her the best I can. I said, sure, I appreciate that, but I'll take care of that. That's my mama. I'll take care of that. And I remember walking in that little room, and she looked up at me in those beautiful eyes of hers and said, baby, what did the doctor say? Did we get some good news? Did we get some good news? What did the doctor say? And I began to cry. I said, mama, it's not good news. On this side, it's not good news. On this side of Jordan, it is not good news. But mama, for you getting ready to see daddy again and Jesus again, it's going to be good on that point. I said, mama, you eat up with cancer. You only have a few months to live. And she said, well, I want to go home and enjoy what I got left. And she grabbed me by my face, pulled me down real close, and she said, I want you to know I am not afraid to die. I just don't want to leave y'all. I really think what she meant, I don't mind your sisters, but I don't want to leave you. I just felt that in my spirit. I just don't want to leave you. Man, we'd fix her little iPad where she could watch church. Man, for the last 3 months my mama lived, she never got to go to her favorite place, church. She never got to drink a cup of coffee. She never got to eat a meal. She lived on a little feeding tube until it quit working. But you know what? She never got bitter. She never got ugly. She never got down. She always had a smile. She always had something to say. And she would tell you right now, serving God is great. Serving God is awesome. She never lost the joy. She never lost the fire. She had a faith that continued. I saw her and Dad through the years go through the fires, go through the floods, go through the adversities. People would hurt them. People would disappoint them. Things would happen in the family. They had storms and troubles and trials and maladies and afflictions like everybody else. But I'm glad they never gave up. I'm glad they never turned back. I'm glad they never denied the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. They continued, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the faith that's going to win this world of Jesus Christ. It's one that will not quit in the face of adversity. The songwriter said, some through the water, some through the fire, some through the flood, but all through the blood. Aren't you glad that God is faithful and God is good and God is present and He's worthy of you and I continuing, continuing. Just keep on, keep on, keep on. Press on for God. It will be worth every mile of the trip. It's a faith that is concrete. It's a faith that commits. It's a faith that continues. And then lastly, chapter number 4, verse 6, 7, and 8 is a faith that comforts. It is a faith that comforts. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 is Paul's last words right before he goes and dies a martyr's death for the cause of Christ. But I love his personal testimony in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 8. He said in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I kept the faith. And I love verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to them also that love his appearing. Paul said at the end of the conflict, at the end of the course, at the end of my earthly race, I will trade it all for a crown I'll have in heaven. And Paul left this testimony to a young man by the name of Timothy. This faith today that is real and authentic. It is a faith that comforts you and I. It comforts us in life. And it comforts us in death. Can I say that again? It comforts us in life. And it comforts us in death. Right before my mama lost the ability to communicate with me, I was to fly out Saturday night so I could preach at our place on Sunday and fly right back. And I went out to my car and I just couldn't leave. I couldn't leave. I called our staff. I said, I can't leave. I canceled the flight. I can't leave. I just can't. I just knew that every little moment that I would have with Mom was precious and not going to be many more left. And I remember coming back into the house and walking in that room. And she'd got enough strength to turn on her side to look at the door. When I walked in that little door, she started to cry. She said, "Why ain't you going to go to church and serve God?" I said, "Mama, I'm going to go to church and serve God, but I want to just tell you I love you one more time." And she said, "I knew you was going to come back. I knew you wouldn't be able to leave." And she said, "Come here, baby, kiss me." She said, "It ain't going to be long, honey, that Jesus is coming to get me. And I'll meet you on the other side." And I leaned over that bed, and as the tears fell off my cheek onto my mama's, I said, "Mama, listen to me. I firmly promise you, I will meet you again." I saw my nosy sisters peeking around the corner. And I said, "I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're saved or not, but I will meet you again." And she said, "Joseph Clarence Arthur, you be good to your sisters." I said, "Yes, Mama, I will. I don't want to, but I will." I'm glad that faith that comforts. A week later, when I had her in my arms, helping her get that last breath. Oh, I'm glad when she blew that last breath back out. Boy, I'm glad hell didn't get my mama. I'm glad my mama didn't go out to a crossless eternity. I'm glad my mama could quote the words of the Apostle Paul: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I made my mother a promise, and my mother made me a promise that we'll meet again on the other side of the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. You said, "Joe Arthur, that's fantasy." No, that's not fantasy. That's the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That God is real now, and He's real in death, and He's real in eternity. I'm glad I got a home on the other side. And one day we'll take the cross, and we'll take the course, and we'll take the conflict, and we'll trade it for a crown. And it will be worth it all when we see the face of Jesus Christ. This is what's so wonderful to me about this faith. Paul is getting ready to go die a martyr's death. And right before he leaves, he says, "Oh, and by the way, Timothy, the Lord has stood with me, and He shall deliver me out of the mouth of the lion." Oh, Brother Joe, there's one of those discrepancies. There's one of those discrepancies. God, the Lord didn't deliver Paul. He died a martyr's death. Oh, he got delivered permanently. Someone said, "Oh, Brother Joe, your mama didn't get healed. Your mama didn't get delivered. She died of stomach cancer. Didn't even eat a regular meal for the last 3 months of her life." Mama got delivered forever. Because she don't have a little feeding tube this morning. And I know Lester Roloff would not want me to say this, but there might even be a little cup of coffee in heaven for Mama to sip on just one more time. Mama did get delivered because God is faithful. He's faithful in life. He's faithful in death. And He's faithful in eternity. You realize this morning we just don't have a religious dogma to pass to the next generation. We just don't have a set of fantasizing or some kind of mystical religion to pass to the next generation. Our faith is real. Our faith is authentic. Our faith is sure. Our faith is steady. Our faith is eternal. Yes, it is a faith that is concrete. It's a faith that commits. It's a faith that continues. And it's a faith that comforts. And I'm glad it's worth handing to the next generation. In closing today, let me say, not only was grandmother and mama and Paul faithful to Timothy, but he had to make a personal choice to pick it up and take it. I'm glad my mom, my dad, that generation before me, left me something. But I'm glad for that night I made the personal choice to take it. Young people, there's a lot of people that has invested in your life And I trust that you love Jesus enough to reach out and take what's been handed and be faithful to the trumpet sounds. Let's stand together. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless these young people today. Lord, if there's one in our midst that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, may this be the glad day. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the college. Thank you for the school. Thank you for the people that want to invest in the next generation. Seal this day and these truths in our hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Pastor.